Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting and talented people from show business who are going to show their skill with words and language as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Giles Brandreth and Stephen Mangan, and seated on my left, Kerry Godelman and Tony Hawkes. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me is Judy Stevens, who's going to help me keep a score. She will blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we're going to begin the show this week with Giles Brandreth. Giles, the subject I've got for you here is Ode to Joy. Please tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
You, Nicholas, are probably thinking of Ode to Joy, the poem by the great Friedrich Schiller, later set to music by Ludwig van Beethoven, written around 1785 and now, of course, the anthem of the European Union.
Tony Challenge.
Clearly, Nicholas wasn't thinking of that at all.
How on earth do you know, Tony?
Well, I'm just assuming you're as ignorant as I am about it. It was a silly challenge.
No, it wasn't. It was a very intelligent challenge.
Okay.
And whether I admit my ignorance and give it to you, or bluff it out and say, I think it was a good challenge.
Oh, thank you.
Shall we give you a bonus point?
This is Radio 4, Nicholas. Radio 4.
Listen.
This is not 5 Live, Radio 1. Radio 4. All our listeners know about Schiller's Ode to Joy.
I'm giving you a bonus point because I thought it was a very creative challenge. But Giles was interrupted, and you keep the subject, Giles. You get a point for an incorrect challenge, as you know, and you have another 45 seconds to continue on Ode to Joy, starting now.
Let me come down to your level then, Mr. Parsons, and tell you about the Ode to Joy that I wrote in 1962 to a charming little person called Joy. She's now a fat old frump, as it happens, with terrible wrinkles and a moustache, but then she was a creature divine. We were in the same class at school, and I wrote an ode to Joy.
Tony Challenge again.
Repetition of wrote.
Yes, you wrote it twice. Correct challenge, Tony Hawks. 27 seconds are still available. Ode to Joy starting now.
I am a huge fan of the German poet that wrote Ode to Joy. Which
Giles Challenge.
You've never heard of him.
Giles, I'll do exactly the same for you as I did to Tony, because you are allowed to bluff in this game. You get a point for an interesting and clever challenge. Tony gets a point because it was interrupted, and he continues with 21 seconds available. Ode to Joy, starting now.
I do know that Ludwig van Beethoven got hold of it and created the Ode to Joy in his 9th symphony. He wrote a great many, and that one...
Giles, Tony.
Repetition of wrote.
Hoisted on your own petard. Giles, correct challenge. You have a point. You have 11 seconds. Ode to Joy starting now.
I now realise you may have been spelling this O-W-E-D, and indeed Ode to Joy is still 3 shillings and 6 pence, because she lent me her lunch money for a favour that actually I undertook with her behind the bicycle frame.
Only two people spoken. Giles Brandreth, you're in the lead, just 1 point ahead of Tony Hawkes. Stephen Mangan, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject is special delivery. I don't know whether you've had many in your time, but try and talk. Sorry, did you get it written down all right?
Yes.
Special delivery, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I had the good fortune recently to voice an iconic and legendary cartoon character called Postman Pat in his first ever, thank you, motion picture adventure. And I have to say, if anyone knows about special deliveries, it must be Postie Patrick. That's what I mean. Signed sealed, delivered, I'm yours. A special delivery, as any postal operative will know, is when your letter or missive, epistle, package, post, whatever, is delivered within a specified time frame, and possibly you can also check where it is on the internet through a tracking system. Stop, wait a minute, Mr. Postwoman. Deliveries are often extremely exciting in Greendale, where it may involve a cup of tea with Mrs. Goggins or rescuing...
That was wonderful. All the variations you put in, the round of applause shows how much they appreciated your talent. So you get a point for speaking when the whistle went, and you get another point for not having been interrupted, but you're still in third place.
You give with one hand, so take away with the other.
Whose go is it next, Nicholas?
And it's going to be Kerry next.
All right. Well, that's easy enough. Just do that, Kerry.
Oh, God. Not intimidating at all.
So, Kerry, we've got something here for you, which I hope you can go on. It's called Life Before Mobile Phones. Want to write it down?
Yeah.
Have a moment to think about it?
Yeah.
Life Before Mobile Phones. There are 60 seconds, as always. And you start now.
Life before mobile phones involved sometimes not always speaking to your friends when you'd planned to. So, for example, if you said to somebody, I will call you on Tuesday, and then you made that call, they were out. If they were not at home, then you would not have the opportunity to speak to them. So sometimes friendships just ended, and you would have no means of expressing your feelings to that friend anymore. And I do feel that it's a shame sometimes that we have mobile phones, because you have to speak to people all the time. And I get a feeling of hunted sort of sensation, and I sometimes long for the days before Malvo.
I challenge for medical reasons.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I felt she was going to have a coronary if
I should explain to our listeners that he's sitting next to her, and she was getting so animated. The veins were showing at the side of her temples there. But they let you go. A couple of repetitions there, they let go down. But you did very well for the first time. Well done.
Yes. Yeah.
And you went for 36 seconds.
Oh,
So there are 24 left for you, Tony, with a correct challenge. Life before mobile phones, starting now.
It is difficult, isn't it, for us to imagine what life could possibly have been like before these little iconic objects that sit in our pockets. But we are so reliant on them now. Picture yourself, throw you back to the times when you might have been perhaps at university, queuing outside a phone box. I can remember that. Smelly little places they were too, weren't they? People used to have wheeze in them.
So Tony Hawkes was then speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's now one ahead of Giles Brandreth. And Tony, it's your turn to begin. Oh, the subject, a lovely one. That gorgeous book, Cider with Rosie. Will you tell us something about Cider with Rosie in this game, starting now?
Cider with Rosie. Well, Rosie, like Joyle was for Hello. Was
Unexpected hesitation.
I just started speaking a foreign language. I was speaking in tongues, wasn't I? I don't know what I tried to do, but it went wrong.
Giles, a correct challenge, a point to you, of course. 55 seconds available. Cider with Rosie, starting now.
It is not generally known that I am a trained midwife. When I was in the class, my Arcala awarded me the Mithwidowry badge because of my ability to deliver children. The first one that actually came out was called Rosie. And we did it not with boiling water, but with warm cider. An extraordinary experience, viewed by Laurie Lee. And I think it was the seeing this that made him realise I could write an extraordinary novel featuring
Tony Challenge.
Well, I think he wrote the novel just after the First World War.
Did he?
How old are you then? Because he was, according to your story, he saw you deliver this child, and then it gave him the idea for the book.
You speak in tongues, and he has premonitions.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tony. It was set in the village of Slough in Gloucestershire, and it was in the 30s. It was pre-war, and he did manage to evoke all the wonderful qualities that existed before the war. And so we give you a correct challenge, Tony, and 26 seconds available. Cider with Rosie, starting now.
Rosie was my first love, beautiful, witty, charming, and yet the thing that drew me to her the most was the fact that her father was a Somerset farmer who had 7 cider presses. And we would go down together to the area where he produced this alcohol and drink enormous amounts of it, which was cheeky and, because we were only 7 years old, not the right thing to do.
Tony Holt, who then speak of the whistle, went gained that extra point for doing so. He's maintained his lead ahead of Giles by 2 points and 5 ahead of Stephen Mangan. And Giles, we're back with you. We'd like you to begin the next round. How to accept a compliment. Will you tell us something about that subject? 60 seconds, Giles, starting now.
As you may imagine, because I'm a former Member of Parliament and now work mostly for the British Broadcasting Corporation, most of my friends have been arrested. I very rarely receive compliments these days, and so learning how to accept one has become quite challenging to me. But I had an interesting experience a few years ago when I hosted a lunch at which Prince Charles spoke, and afterwards I paid him a compliment, telling him how remarkable his speech had been. He was touched by this, tears came into his eyes, and he said, "Thank you so much." That same evening, there was another event with the Duke of Edinburgh. To him, I also paid an extravagant compliment. To me, he said, "Bugger off." This is the difference between knowing how to accept a compliment gracefully and perhaps actually speaking the truth. I was appalled by the way that this Greek princeling addressed me, but I thought maybe that is the way I should be doing it in future. So when I accept a compliment...
Well, we don't often have that. 2 complete rounds without interruptions in 1 show. John started with the subject. He wasn't interrupted. He kept going without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And so he gets a point for speaking when the whistle went and an extra point for not being interrupted. And he's moved forward and he's equal now with Tony Hawkes in the lead. And Stephen, we'd like you to begin the next round. Across the pond. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Across the pond is an idiom, if I'm not very much mistaken, meaning on the other side of the Atlantic. For example, if you asked someone in London if they came from across the pond, you would be expecting an answer whether they dwell in the United States of America or Canada. The pond is the vast, rolling, roiling ocean.
Giles Challenge.
I don't think it's the roiling ocean. Roiling is not a... Rolling is a word.
Roiling. Roiling is a word. I'm from a long line of roilers.
Well, it could be, Giles, that that was the way he felt it worked. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Atlantic does to him roil rather than roll.
Oh, we can invent words now, can't we? That's right. No, you're right, Nicholas. After 48 years, high time to modify the rules. Why not? And why not start tonight with your pet here?
I can't give you a bonus point for petulance. But I can give you one for fun and humour.
Oh.
But I'm not going to take it away from Stephen, because he's training you by many points, and tell him that he's got 37 seconds to continue on Across the Pond, starting now.
Do you live in Massachusetts, or...
Tony Challenge.
I think he said live the first time. Did he say...
Oh, live? Yes, if you live across...
Yeah, I did. Well, you've got me banged to rights, Governor.
He's played the game before. So, Tony, a correct challenge, and you have 33 seconds still available. Across the Pond, starting now.
My father remarried and had an American wife and lived across the pond, and I used to become fascinated with the difference between Yanks and Brits. I have a theory. Americans are very open. They don't mind telling you about their problems and what's on their mind, whereas British people... don't like listening to them when they do.
Kerry Challenge.
Don't, wasn't there? You don't like listening,
yes,
and don't.
Yes, don't.
Like...
Well, listen, my darlings. 2 don'ts there. Right. So, Kerry, you've got in with 15 seconds to go, my darling. No, that's easy.
Oh, yeah.
across the pond. Think about it. 15 seconds starting now.
I used to live in a gorgeous little cottage just next to a pond, and every day I used to get in my little boat to go across the pond to the shops and visit all my friends. And it was a lovely location to live because there were lots of ducks on the pond and everybody used to wave across the water.
Kerry was speaking then as the whistle went. Got an extra point for that. Got another one for a correct challenge. So she's now in fourth place, but she's there. And just behind Stephen Mangle. And Kerry, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, hen parties. Hen parties, 60 seconds are available, starting now.
Hen parties is a celebration just before you tie the knot, where you get together with a group of people that are of all the same gender as you, so in my case, women, and that's a hen party. And if it's a first marriage, you tend to go bananas and have loads of alcohol and wear dealy boppers with things on top and drink...
Stephen Chan. Yes, there was a
definite...
Get a room.
Listen. Right, correct challenge, Stephen. Hen parties with you. 41 seconds available, starting now.
I'd have to take objection to what Kerry said. As far as I know, hen parties are exclusively a female occupation. Men have stag do's if they're celebrating a upcoming marriage. My first hen party, what am I talking about? I've never been on one. I'm a man. But I'd love to go. What do women talk about? Do they talk?
Repetition of talk.
Yeah, there was too much talk there, I'm afraid.
Talk.
21 seconds are still available, Giles, and his hen parties starting now.
It's rather nice to think of hens getting together in their coops, putting on the funny costumes and toasting Bernard Matthews over a glass of whatever the wine is they prefer to drink. I assume they play amusing games at hen parties, you know, fix the tail on the fox as it goes by. Entertainment of different kinds.
Charles Brandon, who then speaking to Whistle Wen, gained that extra point. And he's in the lead now, two ahead of Tony Hawks. And a few ahead of Stephen Mangan and Kerry Godleman in that order. Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject is yesterday's news. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
This show is not being transmitted live. Therefore, it is quite difficult for me to tell the listeners at home about yesterday's news, given that it hasn't yet happened for them. This has put me in something as a dilemma. Tomorrow never comes is the expression, but imagine when you have a situation where yesterday's news isn't even on the table. It's worse still when one considers this show is repeated. So even if I am able to make up yesterday's news for the Monday recording...
Yes, you've challenged, Kerry.
What is your challenge within the rules, Nicholas? I mean...
Yes, it was a repetition of show, actually.
You were so quick to spot that.
Thank you.
But it was a correct challenge, yes. And you've got 26 seconds available. Yesterday's news starting now.
Yesterday's news is the brand name of the cat litter that I use at home. It is actually made from newspapers, which is scrawled into tiny little balls, and that's why it's called Yesterday's News, because they have used the paper that the information of the yesterday's thing.
Tony, you challenge.
Yes, sir, repetition of thing.
So, Tony, yes, the correct challenge, so you have a point for that. And there are 8 seconds still available. Yesterday's news starting now.
I tell you what you don't want to happen when you work in show business.
Giles Towns.
Third time you've heard the word show.
Show, yes.
Show business. Show business.
No, it's two words in both the Oxford English Dictionary, Webster's and Harrod's.
Irving Berlin, he definitely had it as one, and he's the way.
But he's American.
Oh yes.
We're not over the pond.
So, Giles, that is correct, challenge. There are two words, right? 4 seconds available still for you, with another point, of course. Yesterday's news starting now.
In Australia, we are already yesterday's news, so there is a fallacy in.
So, Giles got that extra point. and he's moved forward. He's increased his lead over Tony Hawk's. And Giles, it's actually your turn to begin. Oh, lovely subject. Twitching curtains. Ooh. Tell us something about twitching curtains, Giles, starting now.
I don't wish to disparage the age of our audience, Nicholas, but looking out at them, they do seem pleasantly mature, suggesting possibly this could be the AGM of the National Trust, or indeed an outbuilding for a saga cruise. The advantage of their maturity is this. They know about twitching curtains. Like me, they enjoy those murder mysteries where folk like Hinge and Brackett are behind the curtains, peering out to see who has the pick of the shelters on the Strand. Is a murder about to take place? This is what we wonder. Gossips gather by the twitching curtains. I have seen Nicholas Parsons himself wearing an amusing little hat and a funny dressing gown, gathered by the curtains, twitching away in excitement as Postman Pat comes tripping along with a special delivery.
Tony, you've challenged.
He's drunk.
And nobody kept going magnificent without
he
hesitation,
did.
Repetition.
Well, I think we should bring drug testing into this game, really.
I'll do what I did right at the beginning of the show, Tony.
Oh.
I'll give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption and your humorous comment. But Giles was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. And you've got 5 more seconds, Giles, on twitching curtains starting now.
I once played sardines at Balmoral, and Camilla was actually wrapped up in the curtains.
I don't think it's booze, I think it's drugs.
I think it's inappropriate, too. Well, Stephen, you have a correct challenge. And you have half a second to go. And for our listeners, Giles is ready to challenge. And you start now.
Camilla and I.
Kerry, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is exploring a hotel room. Something we've all experienced, I'm sure. But talk on the subject if you can, 60 seconds starting now.
It's always lots of fun exploring a hotel room. It's best to start with the bathroom because there's often lots of bottles of things that often I steal, and you can take them home and they're full of shampoo and conditioner, and sometimes you even get a little hat that you can wear in the shower. Occasionally I take a towel and then maybe I'll move on into the bedroom and see what is in there. Once I stayed in a hotel room, and when I was exploring behind the chair, I found a tiny woman who was waiting to give me some advice. I said to her, what are you doing in my hotel room? And she said, I'm here to give you... she had a speech impediment. The lady had a speech impediment. I was quoting her directly.
I've always wanted someone to give me in a hotel room.
Stephen, you challenged?
Hesitation.
And you have 26 seconds on exploring a hotel room starting up.
The last time I explored a hotel room, I found a little woman beneath a chair. She said to me, Stephen, I've been waiting here for you for a...
Kerry challenged.
Why did she speak to you and not Kerry?
Kerry, I don't think you allowed her to get as far as that. We enjoyed your interruption, so we give you a bonus point for that. But you, Stephen, you were interrupted, so you keep the subject, and another point, and 18 seconds on exploring a hotel room starting now.
The best thing about exploring a hotel room for the first time is flinging open the door and rushing in and going, woohoo, I'm here. Unfortunately, the rooms I tend to stay in are so small that by then I've smacked my face into the opposite wall and fallen in a crumpled heap on a little old hag who's sitting under a...
Repetition of little.
Little old hag. Oh, dear, what a pity, because you only had 2 seconds to go. But it was a correct challenge, so being...
Why are there never any women in the hotel rooms I go in?
Well, you'll have to speak to Kerry and Stephen. So, Giles, a correct challenge. 2 seconds to go. Exploring a hotel room starting now.
Exploring a hotel room is always exciting. You might find...
Well, we're moving into the final round, I'm afraid.
Oh,
your lovely audience. it's right. I'll give you the situation as we do. Charles Brandreth is still in the lead. He's 3 ahead of Tony Hawkes, and they're about 4 ahead of Stephen Mangan, and he's a few ahead of Kerry Godelman in that sequence. And Stephen, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is guests who stay too long. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
If you have guests who stay too long, you only have yourself to blame. What you need to do is go into the kitchen, open a drawer, pick out the largest knife, walk to the doorway, stand staring at them for 2 minutes without saying anything, and I guarantee they will leave. Or open a vein and write, "I will kill again," on the wall with your own blood, while giggling in a high-pitched voice, "Oh, stop it, Mr. Darcy!" Never fails. Obviously, people who don't leave when the time is right are lacking the ability to spot the social signals. So you need to up your game. Start yawning, look at your watch, say, "Oh my goodness, you lot are boring," and actually fall asleep. Eventually, they will tiptoe away into the night and you will be free from these guests who refuse to leave. And then you can let the party begin. Oh, hello.
Was there a repetition of party?
I wasn't listening, I was carried away with it all. I was actually thinking how I could get Kerry in on the last subject with a few seconds to go.
She buzzed just off.
She has no chance of winning, so it wouldn't make a lot of difference. It wouldn't make any difference to the score if I gave a point to Stephen on that as an incorrect challenge. So, Stephen, you don't mind, do you?
Not at all.
Not at all, lovely.
I can't win either.
So, Kerry, no. You have 11 seconds, my darling.
Right.
On guests who stay too long, starting now.
I am a guest that stays too long. Whenever I've been to Stephen's house, I'm not at all remotely threatened by his knife-wielding and blood-spurting. I have no regard for how awkward someone feels about me outside.
Goldman was in speaking as the whistle went and gained an extra point for doing that, and she's finished up in a magnificent fourth place. But in this show, it is not the points, as I say, it's a contribution. Just ahead of her was Stephen Mangan, who went for a whole 60 seconds earlier on and nearly achieved it again. And he's just trailing Tony Hawkes. But Tony is 3 points behind Giles Brandreth, so we say, Giles, you are our winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four exciting players of the game, Giles Brandreth, Stephen Mangan, Kerry Godelman and Tony Hawkes. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score and blown the whistle so magnificently. We're grateful to the man who created this amazing game, Ian Messiter. We're grateful to our producer, Katie Tyrrell. We're thankful to this audience here who've cheered us on our way. And from them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, thank you. And tune in again at the same time next week when we play Just a Minute.